take us back to that period, 1969 to 1973, that was such a tumultuous time at the university. So what were the issues, and where were you positioned in all of this?
Well, it was a time of turmoil on the campus, the students, faculty, politics, economics, social change, civil rights, a big war going on. There's a lot of activity, a lot of dissent, a lot of demonstrations on the campuses. I had just received my doctorate degree from the University of Texas in the history and philosophy of education when Harry Ransom asked that I be hired into the system administration. And after a year, I was surprisingly appointed to become vice chancellor for academic affairs. So I was working closely with the administration, board of regents, and of course, at the center of all of it was Frank Irwin, the chairman of the board of regents at that time.
And so what were the biggest, changes or forks in the road that occurred during this time, and what have sort of have been the results of those that we see today?
Well, Frank Irwin interjected himself very much into the politics and the administration of the campus because of the demonstrations, the insistence, for example, of students that there be moratorium in sympathy with other campuses around the country to oppose the war in Vietnam, to support civil rights movements, other activities. Irwin was absolutely convinced that unlike hundreds of other campuses around the country, these campuses were not going to be closed under any circumstances by the students. And so he took a very forthright view on this. One episode that really put him crossways with the students was the expansion of the stadium to the west, which required a relocation of the street by the stadium, and a cutting down of numerous cypress trees along Waller Creek. That resulted in student demonstrations. He insisted that the trees be cut down. The police had to remove students from the trees. They had climbed into the trees to try to protect them, so they brought in fire trucks and police and firemen removed students. They were arrested, taken down to City Hall, booked. Irwin refused to withdraw charges against the students. There was a lot. They called both the young Democrats and the young Republicans called for his resignation. He had a vote of no confidence from the faculty. It was a time of real turmoil and upset, a lot of concern that the regents were far too involved in the activities of the university. They felt that Irwin and the regents were politicking to try to get their person appointed to be president of the University of Texas after Norman Hackerman left to go to Rice University. They felt that he was far too much involved in policies. He was proposing things like a rule that would exclude non-students from the use of any facilities on the campus, which resulted in arrests, the use of tear gas and other abuse of the students. He was just in the midst of everything. There was an off-campus newspaper called The Rag, and he tried to prohibit that from being sold on campus, went all the way into the courts. The courts overruled the Board of Regents and said the Rag could be sold on the campus. It was just one constant issue after another. The big issue that probably the largest issue that arose was the firing of Dean John Silber. As the dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, in connection with the regental directive that the College of Arts and Sciences, which was very large at that time, be divided into three or four other colleges. So there was just a lot of what the regents, or what the students and faculty and even some of the administrators saw as constant political intrusion by the Board of Regents, principally by Frank Irwin, into the administration and policy making at the university.
Well, and, you know, maybe we don't have students in the trees, but there certainly seems to be, in the last couple of months, a certain tension between students and alumni and the Board of Regents. Do you see any echoes of that era in the current situation the Board of Regents finds itself in?
Yeah, there are echoes, but the situation is different. And the difference is this, that Frank Irwin never set out in anything that he did to hurt the University of Texas. He thought everything that he did was for the good of the university, for the protection of the university, for the enhancement of the school. He never denigrated research. He always supported basic research. He gloried in the successes and recognition of the university for the research results, technology transfer. He never made such absolutely ridiculous proposals as that basic research should be disincentivized and that we ought to be putting our money solely behind applied research, practical research, technology transfer, and teaching. He recognized very, very fully that the fundamental purpose and function of a university is to not only to teach, it would have nothing to teach if it didn't continue to accumulate and extend the frontier of knowledge. So Irwin was fully behind that, in contrast to the kinds of things that are going on now. He had his problems with the faculty, yeah, and he fought constantly with individual faculty members, but it was with individuals who disagreed with him and fought him on certain things that he wanted to do, but he never attacked the whole faculty as being incompetent in directing the future and of the University of Texas. And that's the big difference that I see, that current efforts for political intrusion into the University of Texas, I see those efforts as an outright effort to try to change the functions and purpose of the University of Texas, which is part of the 800-year-old institution of higher learning in human civilization. So I see a big difference. There are echoes, but a huge difference between those times and the dangerous political intrusion that I see now.
And so, which it almost sounds like you're saying that the current situation could have more significant ramifications depending on how it plays out. Is that a fair read?
I think there could be very deleterious effects on higher education and the two principal institutions of higher learning, A&M and UT. Already steps have been taken to elevate University of Houston and perhaps even Texas Tech University and University of Dallas and others, University of Texas at Dallas and others, into the first tier. But if we have politicians in the state of Texas saying that basic research is unimportant because we can't see how it's going to have important results in our society, then it's going to change and damage the reputation of the University of Texas. Rankings of universities are based on reputation, as universities are seen by other people in higher education. And with the kinds of uninformed redirection that appears to be underway for higher education in Texas right now with the political intrusion, that can be damaging to the university's rankings nationally and internationally. I think that would be very unfortunate.
Well, so, finally, your book is coming out at a particularly interesting time for this topic. What do you hope that people learn from reading it? What do you hope they take away?
Well, I hope this, that it's my sort of a memoir of the 3 years that I spent with the University of Texas, but it's much more than that. I tried to put those years, those critical years when Frank Irwin was driving the university pretty much, into a broader historical context. The University of Texas, in when I first started there in 1950 as a student, was just beginning to move away from its image of being a college on the prairie to make its mark. And when I came back again, close to 20 years later, came back as an employee of the University of Texas, it was making its move toward international and national rankings and recognition. And so the University of Texas should not be treated as though it's a tool for the manipulation or use or even an instrument for use by politicians. It is no longer a college on the prairie. It is a major internationally recognized university and needs to be protected and preserved. And I hope that's the message that comes across just coincidentally with the issuance of my book. That, as you put it, there are some echoes. That's coincidental with the publication of the book. But I think there are some messages here about the damage that can be done by excessive or inappropriate political intervention in higher education.